Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Sandile Swana, political analyst, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are your listeners? How are you?
I am very well. Thank you. It's great that we have this in place, or rather that the ANC has this in place. But is it actually effective? Because when we look at some of the cases in the past, it's hard to determine.
Yes. It is very hard to determine whether this step-aside rule or the idea itself of stepping aside, let alone the step-aside rule, is very difficult, because the institutions such as the Integrity Committee or the Integrity Commission of the African National Congress is very unpredictable in the way that it treats various cases within the ANC. You will remember that if we talk about MCB, for instance, that you've mentioned now, that already by 2019, he was facing 10 charges relating to assault, robbery, attempted murder, and things like that. And he was still contending to be a successor in the province as premier to David Mabuza. And Mabuza himself had many lingering, still has many lingering questions, and actually even became deputy president before the Integrity Commission clears him. And I have not heard that they've ever cleared him to become the deputy president.
So are you saying that the rule is there, but it's treated differently, perhaps not because of the case, but because of who the case is with?
Yes, that is one aspect that actually happens in reality. The second aspect is that you always have to be aware that the very people who are supposed to be pursuing these cases have got cases of theirs that are in the pipeline. Charges of one kind or the other that are simmering somewhere. So if you become too forward in saying so-and-so must be charged and released from office, within a matter of days, your own scandals and other things are going to pop up. So the party in many ways becomes crippled, except in the cases where physically the police grab someone and it becomes clear that they cannot hide this anymore.
So it's really about perception than it is about being able to actually, or having the willingness to deal with the real issues.
You know, we can accuse them of lacking the willingness, but the truth of the matter is that they are compromised. The leaders of the African National Congress generally are compromised. In reading, for instance, the criminal CV of Mandla Msibi, I cannot see any sober political party having allowed him beyond 2017 to participate in activities and leadership programs of the ANC for any good reason, because the offenses he had already committed by that time would have brought the organization into disrepute. But they've waited all this time, call it 5 years, call it what you will, until the police physically grabbed him and threw him in prison in the eve of local government elections. They were still, even in the speech by the premier and the chairperson of the province, they say, we respect him and we commend him for all the good work he has done, saying nothing about the reputational damage to the ANC, and that indeed he has to be respected because everybody is equal before the law and is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. So they treat him as innocent, which is correct.
Of course.
But from a political point of view, it's a very dubious program given the CV, the criminal CV of the candidate in question.
So then it begs the question, does the ANC really want, is it a real desire to rid the party of corruption, or are they only doing this because they know that that is what the public and the country expect of them? Because if you look at the behavior, if you look at the behavior, it is reflect, what it does reflect to me is somebody who's doing something because they have to, not because they're passionate about ridding corruption from their midst.
Yes. Number one, we all have to agree that any political party in today's environment has to distinguish itself from the mafia. It's an imperative today, anywhere in the world. It's a scandal for you to remain in criminal activities as a political party. However, when it comes to the ANC, just like it was the case with the National Party, they are like a drug addict or an alcoholic. The thing is so embedded in their systems, in their day-to-day way of thinking and doing, and they are already implicated in it, the majority of them and the majority of their structures. So, and it's also a dependency. A lot of these guys cannot even get a job at Checkers, you know, at the supermarket. They have no credible skills of any kind. So they've lived on the back of criminality for quite some time, and they've never taken the effort to develop any specific skills that can make them money. So part of this criminality and corruption is also involved, one, in supporting unviable lifestyles that they have, which they have no skills to support and a decent income to support that lifestyle. Two, they have an organization that has got a budget that they cannot afford, except if they commit crimes. So regardless of how much in a hurry they want to get out of criminality, their constitution, the way they, how they are made up, forces them to continue to be involved in criminality.
In other words, what you're saying is the system within the ANC or within the party has set them up for failure because they don't have the skills. They are expected, or it's become socially accepted and expected that they live these massive lifestyles. They can't manage it in any other way but to turn to criminality, and all of this money is floating around as it comes in and goes out for various projects, and that is what ultimately is pushing them towards corruption and criminality.
Yes, and as South Africans, one day I hope somebody will be bold enough to stand up and say it was most unwise in 1994 for us to actually set up a credible welfare program for the ANC, to understand that when you fetch people from prison, when you fetch people from exile, who have no clear skills other than to stay in the bush and other things like that, you need a welfare program that is a clear budget to say, this is how you are going to maintain these people now that you've decided to fetch them from exile. Now what we've done is to give them a budget with no limit, because they take whatever they want for themselves from the national treasury, breaking every possible law. So we have to admit that the winking between the National Party and the ANC that was done during Contessa, winking at each other that don't worry, come back, we will turn a blind eye to your criminality as you steal the tenders. We won't give you a budget in the national budget in every year's application so that you can feed all these people who've been living in the bush. So all of those things, the ANC itself, when it came back to South Africa, it was an unviable financial and economic entity. And in government, it has failed to create a solid business base comparable to the likes of Bidvest, comparable to the likes of Pick and Pay, et cetera, that can actually make credible donations to the ANC. There is no such business base. The business base that is there is the business base that supports the TA, the Freedom Front Plus, and so on.
So how do we get out of this? How does this cycle stop? Because as you're saying, if in 1994 it was created, a welfare was created to say, okay, for 3 years, 5 years, whatever that period would be, there will be some support. But during that time, we need to upskill people. We need to train people, teach people different skills because different skills are now required. Then that would have, there would have been an end date or a sunset clause, as we call it, on that type of funding. funding. We're now 27 years later, and it's just carrying on as it always has been. Much harder now to stop and change a whole culture that has developed around it. How do you think we can do that?
Yeah, let's just make examples, first of all, of the point that you are raising. You will remember that the United States, for instance, when you come back from war, you have all sorts of facilities. You get preference in universities and technicons and technical colleges as a war veteran. You get preferences in a number of programs. So that program is always there in the United States for people, because they understand that when people go out to war, the skills they learn out there are war skills. They need to be converted to proper civilian life. I still believe that now that the ANC has agreed to transparency in funding, and they've been, fortunately for them, they've been promoting this idea that funding must be disclosed. I still believe that we've got the skills in South Africa to perform an actuarial calculation, to say for us to actually create a sustainable and affordable program of and maintaining this ANC in South Africa. This is the amount of money that must be in the budget. And whatever other supporting programs that are there, because I can tell you now, if you do not do that, all sorts of corporate criminals, mafia criminals, all sorts of criminals are going to be lingering around the ANC and inside the ANC. So we've got to be honest and say a budget item, whether it is 10 billion a year, whatever the number is, we've got to come to a number and say, for us to get out of the mess we're in, we need to pay for this. It's going to cost us. We negotiated this. We agreed. We wanted these people to come back. It is going to cost us something, and we've got to do it.